What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yes, of course, it is me, Jonathan, one of your hosts. And as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie McLean.
Hello there.
So on this episode, we will be taking a look at the 2018 Christmas comedy film, The Christmas Chronicles, directed by Clay Cates.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good.
Stop. Kids aren't stupid. They know how it works.
Sorry, Santa.
Hot Cupid! Hot Comet!
Teddy, check it out!
Give me the camera! It's Santa Claus!
Live and in person. One night only.
You don't look like Santa Claus.
Well, billboards add 80 pounds.
Christmas is in trouble.
Imagine if we all work together.
I have seen a lot of strange things, but this...
Wait till you see what happens next.
If you ever meet Mrs. Claus, maybe just skip this part.
Papa's got a brand new bed.
Hey, you all want to go on the naughty list?
Mm-mm.
All right, let's get back to work.
So with this film being relatively recent and for a streaming platform, I'm going to guess that you've probably seen this one.
Wait, you think I've seen it?
Before this watch?
No, but I did know what it was. I remember the trailer. I remember the trailers coming out for it at the time it came out. But no, I did not watch this one.
I watched this one when it came out. I was quite interested in it.
Because of Kurt Russell.
That's what I was about to say. For those of you who are fans of the podcast and have listened to a number of episodes, will know that I am a Kurt Russell stan. I do really like Kurt Russell. And it was good to see him in a film again, because he's not been in loads. Same with Goldie Hawn as well. I was having a look while researching the film. She took like an extended break as well. She's not really in this film, but is in the film right at the very end when she's actually Mrs. Claus, which is great. I loved that they done that, like an actual couple in real life as Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Cool. Right, okay.
Did you not know that they were together?
I did not.
They're not technically married. They've been together since 1983.
Oh, Jesus.
Been together a long time. I mean, Kurt Russell was married before and Goldie Hawn was married a couple of times before. So it's actually quite funny because the dad in The Christmas Chronicles is actually Goldie Hawn's son, Oliver Hudson. It's not Kurt Russell's son. It was to her previous marriage. But yeah, obviously, he was maybe, what, 7 when they got together? So he's been around her kids for a long time. But yeah, their kid together that's the famous one is Wyatt Russell, John Walker from Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, wait, really?
That is Kurt Russell's son, yeah, and Goldie Hawn's his mother, obviously. He was born in, like, 1986, I think. So, yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Anyway, off on a mad tangent, because Kenzie didn't know that Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn were pretty much husband and wife in real life. But back to the film. Yeah, it was on a stream, and it was released in November 2018, but on the 22nd of November. For that'd have been round about Thanksgiving-ish time in America, I would assume. That's probably why it was released slightly early. But I suppose nothing comes out bang on sort of Christmas. You need a bit of a run.
They always the release it a little early. Even like Spirited this year came out in November. It's just gives it a little bit extra, I guess. Like some people start watching it a bit early as well, and it's just what seems to happen. It gives it a little bit of extra time before, because if they just release it in December, some people might not watch it, I guess.
It's kind of strange because I thought you would have watched this. I definitely did. I've only seen it once before, watched it again for the podcast, and I must say I do actually really enjoy this film. Not a massive Christmas film guy. There's some absolute belting Christmas films, and a few of them have already been done on the podcast, and there's a lot more to come, but I think we've kind of spoiled ourselves on this run and this sort of first December that we're doing on the podcast, where we've actually picked quite a lot of the kind of more well-known and maybe better Christmas films. If we keep doing this and as the podcast grows, we might end up starting to scrape the barrel of in a few years' time and start doing some of the lesser-known ones. But yeah, I really like this film. It's one of those Christmas films that's actually relatively well-rated for what it is. You know, I think festive or holiday season movies on a whole probably aren't the kind of films that get the buzz from the critics. I mean, if they please the audience, I suppose that is what they're meant to do, but this didn't get panned. It's nowhere near as bad as some of the other films that we've done already. You know, it still holds a pretty decent rating in Rotten Tomatoes, like 68% Tomato Meter, 75% audience score. I think that's pretty good for a Christmas film like this.
Yeah, it's like I was interested, so I checked after watching it what critics thought of it, because yeah, I was just interested, and I saw like in a 68%, and I was like, I expected it to be higher in the audience score, and it was 75. Yeah, that's a pretty good score, and honestly I think it deserves it, because I actually really enjoyed this film as well. It's really good. Like, it's really good. I think it's, like, pretty good. Like, I didn't really... When I saw the trailer for this film, I kind of just shunned it. Like, it's probably going to be bad. Like, yeah, Kurt Russell's in it, but it's a Netflix Christmas film. It ain't going to be good. But actually, it's like a big kind of shock. It's actually pretty good. Kurt Russell is really good at being this, like, kind of different style of Santa Claus, kind of a bit more comedic, a bit more, well, kind of tongue-in-cheek in a way. Works really well for the film, and the two child, one's a slightly older than the other one, but the two child actors in this film are really good as well, and are not like cringy and stuff like that, which I find with a lot of child actors. They work together really well, and the trio makes for a very enjoyable Christmas film. It's not what I was expecting, and I'm kind of glad. I'm kind of glad that you recommended this one.
I was always going to make this list because it's something that's really new that kind of still stands out. I really enjoyed this first time watching it. I really enjoyed it second time watching it. It's a pretty simple film, but it is slightly different. I mean, Kurt Russell's take on Santa Claus is kind of half comedy, half action hero.
Yeah.
It's actually really, really good. But it's not went mental and, you know, what we got. We've got this, the David Harbour Christmas film. Is it Violent Night coming out this year? Which is like full on sort of action. Whereas this is still a kid's film for the most part, but he is kind of interpreting Santa Claus in his own way, and it is kind of action in a weird way. Like, he does riff on the fact that he's not fat, and you know, he's not the image that people paint of what Santa Claus is, quote unquote. He's actually really quite badass and super cool.
He looks cool as fuck.
He does look so cool. One, do you know the thing that piqued my interest when I was watching it, while I was watching it this time around? I wanted to know how much of the beard was his.
I think that's his beard, right?
80% of it is his beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had to put on the sort of curly end bits and stuff, which I'm guessing the mustache is fully his, but it'll be just the extra sort of thickness and length. But for the most part, it is his beard. Yep. Which is pretty cool. I really like it. It's a pretty simple film, but it's actually quite sort of quirky and unique as well. And I think that's what sort of makes it stand out. And this is the thing about Netflix is a lot of these big action vehicles that they make that cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And you do something like this, which is probably better than 70% of the shit that Netflix has actually made, which have maybe got bigger stars and a much bigger budget. This, unfortunately, I don't know what the budget for this film is. I wouldn't even know what to sort of hazard a guess at. But, I mean, if it's somewhere in the sort of 50 million region, I still feel like that's relatively decent value, considering they're making some of these films now which are north of 200 million, which is just crazy. And to be honest with you, they're actually not as enjoyable as this film, in all honesty.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't know what the budget is for this film either. But I honestly think all the effects in this film look pretty good. Like when CGI is there, it's CGI. I mean, you can tell, but it's not bad. It's fine. Like it's just fine kind of CGI. But like all like the parts like in the sleigh and stuff like that, all looks great. Like they kind of crash at the start and all the stuff like they do like a 180 with the reindeers. I think that looks great. Or like when Kate goes into like the Santa's present bag and stuff like Santa. That. Yeah,
I was going to say Santa's sack there, but I already said
that in an earlier episode.
But it's Santa's sack, but I mean,
let's make a little counter. How many times we say Santa's sack in this Christmas year?
I don't know, but no, that was great. Cool. I wasn't expecting that. Like, for how do you get to the sort of Santa's workshop? I didn't think, oh, you'd go into the baggy presents.
It's really cool, yeah. It's actually really cool.
I liked it.
The elves are pretty peculiar. I was not expecting the elves to look like that, but it's kind of fun. The only thing I didn't like about the elves is a couple of them were flossing. There was no need for that, but okay. It's a kids' film. It's a family film. I'll just let that slide, but they really, there was no need for them to be flossing. Why were they flossing?
It was probably all the rage in 2018, though.
Yeah, but it was like there's no other things like that in the film. Just for that moment, I don't know. Maybe one of the CGI people was like, "Ah, I'll just make them floss."
This is coming from the guy who likes to dab, right?
Yep, I like dab. Dab is cool, though. That's not. But like,
I don't think it is cool. I don't think floss is cool either.
See when a cringy dance move comes along, right? It's cringy, and then it becomes like, because people do it all the time, and it's like, oh, it's cringe. Wait like 4 or 5 years later, and then start doing it, because it's super. Because even the people who thought it was kind of funny, they all think it's completely cringe, and it's kind of funny. Anyway, but yeah. The elves are peculiar. And
wait, so what you're saying is, if we get a Christmas Chronicles 3 in like a year or two, are the elves going to be Gridian?
Oh, 100%. I like the Gridians. the Gridians, the big one at the moment.
Or is it? What's the other thing? Is it Get Sturdy?
Oh, well, I'm not even sure what Get Sturdy is. I'm gonna have to look at that one. I know the name. I'm not entirely sure. Like the new one.
Yeah. There's loads of these things floating around social media.
What about the stanky leg? We're not gonna bring that one back.
I'm not bringing anything back. Like, no, I'm not bringing dance moves back. You know, I didn't actually catch the elves flossing, but
yeah, it's not really noticed. Like, it shows them like they are like fully on screen, but I just thought they were dancing for a second, and I realized they're flossing. They've got like tiny little arms. Yeah, these are like the weird. They look like gremlins.
They don't look like gremlins.
They look like the normal version of gremlins. What do you call them? The what do you call them?
What, Mogwais?
Mogwais, yeah. They kind of look like them.
Don't look like Mogwais. They're not hairy, man. Like, they don't look like Mogwais, are. They don't look like Gizmo.
They are hairy, aren't they? They looked hairy to me.
Wait till we do Gremlin spoiler alert. It's coming up on the podcast at some point in the, well, before Christmas. It's on the list. And you tell me that those elves look like gremlins or
well, they look
Gizmo
slightly like them. Like, there's a
absolutely bit, not.
Like, small, they were hairy. I mean, the only difference is they spoke like Finnish or something.
They spoke Elvish.
Elvish, sorry. Elvis.
But they're not. But then again, saying that, like, it's not Lord of the Rings Elvish, it's whatever made up language. It's actually quite cool they've made up a language. I don't know if it's made up for this film, but it probably is. And they speak it, and Santa speaks it, and eventually the girl Kate speaks it right at some point in the film. I don't know. I quite like the elves in this because they're different, you know. I wouldn't want them to be like miniature people because that seems to be what everybody would do, you know. Oh, Santa's workshops, elves are people. No, maybe elves are just mad, magical beings, which they kind of are in this, which is quite cool. But the elves are quite cool. I actually would have quite liked to have more of the elves because they actually all seemed like they had their own sort of personality. It would have been quite nice to have maybe spent more time with them, but obviously you've got a set amount of time. This film's pretty tight. It's like an hour and 40 minutes or something, which is what you would expect for a film aimed at kids around this time of the year. But yeah, I do really enjoy it. And see, to be honest with you, I was going to bring up the pacing of the film and it was going to annoy me and stuff, but actually, when I watched it this time around, I was like, there's a bits of the film that I forgot. So when we've not done a deep dive in the plot, but I mean, there's a part in the film where Santa is, they're getting chased by the police, cops, and they get pulled over, and basically Santa gets arrested, and the kids go off to try and find the presents which fell out the sleigh earlier on in the film. But there's this whole bit in the police station which I actually quite liked. I didn't remember it being that way because it kind of slows down a wee bit in the middle. But I actually get really, I totally forgot about the whole prison music, song singing, band playing, whatever the fuck was going on in there. That was pretty epic. I quite liked that. And if that's Kurt Russell singing, that's fucking dope.
I'm not that big on music in films sometimes when it comes to like a used busting to song, but I'm not gonna lie, I like this one. It's a good song. It was a good song. It was very catchy. And yeah, if that is Kurt Russell singing, he was great. It was quite an enjoyable song. I like seeing Christmas films with songs in it that are actually good. We've been getting some of them recently. They had Jack Frost with some absolute bangers, and I've got this is pretty good as well. I don't think it's up to the Jack Frost level, but that's because Jack Frost was on another level. Bring back the Jack Frost band.
Right, fair, but that's like they were like a blues rock band that just so happened to have a member called Jack Frost. But the thing is like these aren't musical films, so.
Yeah.
When you get a song that's unexpected, you know, like we watched Spirited, and it's a musical, so there's lots of songs in it. So it can be a bit monotonous. Whereas if you've got a film that, I mean, most Christmas films at some point are going to feature a song or some music, but I wasn't expecting this in this film or this style of music as well. It's very rock and roll, but then again, like we said earlier, it is Kurt Russell's own unique sort of individual take on Santa. I'm not saying he had masses of input in it, but obviously whoever was responsible for writing the script and sort of coming up with the idea done a great job to sort of beat the stereotype of what everybody assumes Santa is. But yeah, that just that sort of stuff in the police station just gave a chance for the kids to go and sort of solve, get the presents back and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, just a little bit of fun facts is Wolfie, one of the prisoners, the guy with the long hair, who basically got gifted a guitar back in the 70s. It's actually played by Steve Van Zandt, who is actually famously part of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. So he has a real musician, guitarist. Yep.
He ripped that guitar part was good. That guitar part was good, man. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's. What
I thought
you
he was an actual musician.
That's what you get when you have real musicians turn actors. Yeah, I mean Steve Van Zandt's been funny. Like he's a musician. Sort of that's how he sort of made it initially. But he was in The Sopranos. He played Silvio. I don't know if you've watched The Sopranos.
And I've seen him somewhere. I probably have seen him from The Sopranos. Yeah. I've never actually. I will be watching it at some point, but not yet. I haven't watched it yet.
So that's where, he's been in a massive TV show. Pretty sure he was in it for the whole run, pretty much. But yeah, it's quite funny when you see people like that pop up in films like this, but it's pretty cool nonetheless. This film's just pretty solid across the board. I recommend it to anybody who's not seen it. It's on Netflix. Most people have access to Netflix these days.
This film, I do recommend. I think it's probably one that a lot of people haven't seen. It's a Netflix film. Like a lot of Christmas films come out nowadays, and there's a reason why we don't remember any of the Christmas films that came out in the last 5, 6, 7 years is because they're usually shit. That's just how it happens. And because there's just that many peddled out, you kind of get submerged, and you probably see the bad ones more than the good ones, or you don't even bother trying to watch them because they're usually not very good, and just watch the old reliables. I recommend this one. This one's good. Fun film. Worth the watch. And it has Kurt Russell in it, so that should tide you a little bit more. I have a little gripe with this film. It's a small thing, but at the end of the film, it's what it said for the film is Santa can fly with his hat, or can make things fly or something. I don't really know, but he loses his hat, so he can't do that. But at the end of the film, he proves that he actually can. He's like, I'm Santa Claus, and it's like, so was all this a plan to get Pierce to believe in Christmas or something? I was really confused, because a certain part of the film, it really seemed like Santa was down and like, oh, I'm not gonna make it in time, what's the point? But was that the plan the whole time? Because he could have just flew whenever he wanted.
To make Teddy believe.
Yeah, was it literally the whole point? But it really seemed like he was startled when they were in the back of the sleigh, or was that the plan? Maybe that was the plan as well. I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't think there's that much depth.
Yeah, it was
to
just.
But you're reading into this a bit much, a bit like I did in Office Christmas Party, which is this film's probably got more to it than that. So yeah, you're probably right to ask those questions. I'm not quite sure. I just think that he probably was startled initially, but when he realised who it was, because do you remember that he wrote Santa a letter that year?
Yes, he did.
So there's probably a tie-in there somehow that we're not really picking up, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think Santa could sort of fly. I don't think he flies. It's not that he flies, he teleports.
Well,
I don't really know what he does. He's a shapeshifter. But he just shapeshifts from Santa to dust particles to Santa again.
I just would prefer with that piece of dialogue out of the film. But it doesn't really matter, because it's like a little thing. Because it doesn't add anything to the film that little bit, and it just for me it just slightly confused me. I went, okay, then what? I think it causes more. It's one of those lines that could kind of causes an issue in a film, causes more issues than it does solve anything or even do anything. So I would have, if I had a choice, I would just remove it. But it's such a, really, it's such a small thing. It doesn't fucking matter. It's a fucking Christmas family film with Kurt Russell, and it's been good so far anyway. So there's no, it's nothing really to applicate. I'm not gonna, it's not gonna affect the score. It was just one little thing. I've not got much to complain about in this film because it just works very well, surprisingly. I was not expecting much from this film, really, but definitely did enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I feel the same way. I wasn't really looking for. Do you know the funny thing about this is I totally went into this with an open mind. Since it was a Netflix film, and everybody knows the reality of Netflix produced films, or films that Netflix are putting the money into, that they're normally not that great. So I think this is maybe why I think this film's so good, because I had such low expectations, but it just totally went above and beyond what I thought a Netflix Christmas film would have been. Yeah, and you can tell that the CGI or the visual effects, for the most part, are actually really good. Some could they be better? Yes, but I mean, this film probably didn't have a $150 million budget, which is realistically what you need for animation or super spectacular visual effects these days. As any of these films that have got effects which are absolutely breathtaking and you really can't sort of decipher the difference, a la Denis Villeneuve's Dune, which had a $150 million budget, and it's probably one of the most visually spectacular films that I've seen in the last 10 years. This film didn't have that, but what it did have is just a nice, warm story, great cast, great acting, and it's a Christmas film. And, you know, this time of the year, that's all you really want. You're not looking for something to absolutely blow you away visually. You're looking for something that's actually going to make you feel sort of warm inside, and this film does that. But there's the little sort of sprinkling of extra with sort of somebody like Kurt Russell and what he brings to the part. I think if this was somebody else, or maybe they couldn't get somebody like a Kurt Russell in, this film would be so much worse than what this film is. But with him and the charisma he brings to a part, it just takes it above and beyond what you expect, and it's great. I absolutely love this film. And one thing that really baffled me is I think the reindeer, the reindeer are animation or CGI or visual special effects. I wanted to know why they were so good, and I found out they actually used real reindeer as animation models. So I'm like, that makes loads of sense. But I guarantee you that there's people that would have made this film that wouldn't have done that and just tried to make a CGI'd version of a reindeer, and it would have ended up looking stupid. But the reindeers in this film look pretty much like real reindeers.
They did look pretty good, yeah.
They're like so close, it's unreal, and they're spectacular. And a lot of the flying stuff I actually really liked. I think it worked really well. So yeah, don't really have any gripes about this film. And yeah, we've said enough and waxed lyrical about it. I'm quite happy to go into the ratings if you just want to jump in.
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's really much else to say about this one, Barb. I would just go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it. It's available on Netflix. Like I said, it's a Netflix film. Anyway, I'll kick it off. I mean, I absolutely love this film. I'm a massive Kurt Russell fan. I like pretty much everything I've seen him in. And, you know, I don't like loads of Christmas films, but this is one of the films that I'll probably continue watching for years to come. Just like the number of the films that are on the list, there's a few of my personal favourites, and this was one of them. And I was really surprised because it's for a newer film. I mean, the film's only 6 years old now, and yeah, it's a real staple for Christmas for me, and it's really, really a joy to watch. I like pretty much everything about it. So for that reason, I'm going to give this a 4. I really love this film. I know it might be high in consensus and Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and all those metrics, but, you know, this is one of my personal favourites, just because it caught me off guard and I was actually really surprised about it. when I watched it the first time, and it's not dipped at all second time watching it. So yeah, I'm going to give this a 4.
I think that's fair, but I'm not going to give it that. I'm probably going to stick with the 3.5, but it's in between that. Oh, sorry, my phone is going off there. That's a bit annoying, but yeah, it's a bit in between a 3.5 and a 4. I think it's probably more closer to a 3.5, but it's still a very good film. I can see why Jonathan went that extra little bit with it. Kurt Russell is great in this film. The two children actors are great. I know one of them is Judah Lewis, because he was in The Babysitter, which is also another good Netflix film. Go and watch that. Well, probably not this time of the year. It's a more of a kind of Halloween-y one, but like, yeah, that's also good. I don't know about the other person, but yeah. Fun film. Different. Just decided to change stuff up, and it's about action-adventure. Oh, or more adventure, at least, anyway. And it's just, yeah. If you want a bit more, I don't know what the word is, a bit more stuff happening in a Christmas film, you know what I mean, compared to like what you usually get, this one's, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's it, man. It is something a bit different. Yeah, it's not just your sort of simple, like, let's copy another narrative out there, you know, let's make it something a bit different. You know, it's about Santa Claus, but it's its own take. I just wanted to say that Kate Pierce, the other Pierce child, is played by Darby Camp. Yeah, they're both fantastic. So yeah, like we both said, we both really like this film. It's a 4 for me, 3.5 for Kenzie. It's on Netflix. Go out and watch if you haven't. Check out both of this and the sequel. You've probably got a couple of free nights in the run-up to Christmas. Yeah, I would definitely recommend the first one. I haven't watched the second one for a while, but you know, if you like the first one, you probably will have dived into the second one. So yeah, that is it for another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. And if you'd like to go and check out past episodes of the podcast, you can find us wherever you stream your podcast, just by searching Cult Film Cafe. Or if that's too much hassle, just Google searches. We have a unique Google search, and we pop up, and you'll be able to click one of the links and find us. If you'd like to go over and give us a wee follow on social media, that would be much appreciated. You can do that by searching Cult Film Cafe on both Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, that's it for another episode. We've only got a few more to go. Nah, it's more than a few to go to count down the days to Christmas, but it's been a pleasure as always. I'm looking forward to doing more of these Christmas films, and we hope you are enjoying the series. So with that being said, it's a goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
Podcast out.